Thank you very much. It's nice. It's very happy to be here again. It's like coming back to, let's say, the enthusiasm that I need in order to continue in my devotional life. I come here for enthusiasm. Because wherever devotees of Pune are, there's always enthusiasm, there's always nice prasad, it's always good philosophy, it's always Radha Kunja Bihari, so many nice things. So Radha Shyam Prabhu has asked me to speak more on Shikshastikam, and I don't actually remember where we left off, because we've been going verse after verse. Does anyone remember when was the last verse we did? Was it number 5? Number 6? 4. 4 was the last verse. Now, should we go back from the beginning and start over? Yes. I think we should go back to the beginning. Because actually, I have some additional nectar from the beginning verses. Those of you who are coming for the first time who aren't here before, we had been systematically studying Shikshastikam prayers. And Shikshastikam prayers are the complete manifestation of all devotional principles. Shikshastikam is actually the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in 8 verses. It's the manifestation of the beginning of chanting all the way to the perfection of chanting. The beginning of chanting is we're chanting with offense, we're chanting with distractions, disturbances. But the actual chanting of the holy name actually brings immediately complete perfection of life. So I'll read some basic principles, and I have some more basic principles that I was able to, find. First of all, these 8 prayers are identical with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The first prayer is Hare Krishna. The second prayer is Hare Krishna. The third prayer is Krishna Krishna. The fourth prayer is Hare Hare. Fifth prayer is Hare Rama. Sixth, Hare Rama. Seventh, Rama Rama. Eighth, Hare Hare. This, if one is meditating or thinking of the prayers of the Shikshastikam while one is chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that is attentive chanting. That is perfection of attentive chanting, because there's no difference. In fact, the embodiment of each of the principles of bhakti are found in those prayers, and the holy name includes everything. So when you're chanting, you're connected. Now, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, and he's expressing his love in the mood of Radharani. And so these prayers are Lord Chaitanya's symptoms of ecstasy, but at the same time, there are his teachings for progress in devotional service. Now, these 8 prayers were spoken by Lord Chaitanya in his Antyalila, in his very last pastimes in Jagannath Puri, amongst his 2 most intimate followers, Sri Ramananda Roy and Sri Srup Damodar Goswami. These are the ecstasies of Mahaprabhu's love in the mood of Radharani. Now, the word Sankirtan is important. San, S-A-N, means... What do you know as the definition of San? What does... When you think of... Together, right? Together. But there's another definition. Or there's another explanation. Together is correct, but it also means complete. Complete. There is no more complete way to glorify the Lord than chanting Hare Krishna. It's the perfection of glorification. I mean, in the Vedas, there are so many prayers, there are so many mantras, so many pujas, so many rituals, so many ways to glorify the Lord. But the perfection of glorification is to chant Hare Krishna. It's the perfect way to glorify the Lord. Just like the word Sanskrit. San means complete, and Skrit means language. It's the complete language. Sanskrit, so Sankirtan, complete way to glorify the Lord. Now the word Kirtan, this is something I recently came across, comes from the etymological word Kirti. And Kirti means what? Fame. So when you chant someone's name, you're making them famous. So when you chant Krishna's name, you're spreading the fame of Krishna through the name. So the word Kirtan and Kirti are connected. Kirti means fame. So Kirtan means to make someone famous through glorification, like that. Beautiful explanation. The eight verses of the Shikshastakam prayers coincide with the nine processes of devotional service. So what are the nine processes of devotional service? What is the first one? Shraddha, or faith. And from Shraddha comes Sadhu Sangha association with devotees. And then, so the first verse is, let's see, let me give you a complete clarification here. The first verse is Shraddha. The second verse, in the first verse is Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. It's all three. What is the third one? Fourth. Fourth is Anartha Nivritti. What does Anartha Nivritti mean? To remove those things which are unwanted. What are unwanted things? Offenses, mistakes in devotional service, material attachments. Anartha Nivritti. To get rid of all those things that just block our path in devotion. Anartha Nivritti. So that's the second verse. And what is the third verse? The third verse, what is the next one? Is the Nishta. Nishta means what? It's fixed up, steady. So the third verse represents steadiness in devotional service. The fourth verse is, the next one in line after Ruchi. The fourth verse is Ruchi. The fifth verse is Ashakti. The sixth verse is Bhava. The seventh verse is Bhava and Prema. And the eighth is exclusively Prema. So these are the nine processes of devotional service, how they coincide with the eight stages of eight prayers of Shikshastakam. Any questions on that? I mean, that's a deep topic, and each one requires a deep explanation, but this is how they coincide. Okay. Also, the Shikshastaka prayers embody the three aspects of spiritual practice. What are the three subjects that the Vedas cover? There are three subjects. Correct. Sambandha means to establish relationships. Abhideya means the process of devotional service, and Prayojana means perfection or the goal of life. So the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth verse are Sambandha. The first five verses in Shikshastaka are Sambandha. The sixth, seventh, and eighth verses are Prayojana. And all verses are Abhideya. Okay? Whoops. The first five verses are Sambandha. The sixth, seventh, and eighth verses are Prayojana. And all the verses are Abhideya. Now, what are the different types of bhakti? Raise your hand. What is one kind of bhakti? There are three kinds of bhakti, right? Sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. Okay. Now the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses are sadhana bhakti. They fall in the category of sadhana. Sadhana has two aspects. What are the two aspects of sadhana bhakti? Raise your... Vaidhi bhakti means to follow rules and regulations, and Raganuga bhakti means spontaneous practice of the spiritual life. So the first five verses are sadhana. The sixth verse is bhava bhakti. The seventh verse is bhava and prema together. And the eighth verse is prema bhakti. Like that. Okay. Now, in the first verse, there are... Lord Chaitanya mentions the benedictions for chanting the holy name. Chaito darpanam arjanam mahadirvagni nirvapanam. Sankirtanam. Wow. So these seven benedictions are... The holy name is Krishna. There's no difference between Krishna and his name. One time, one of Srila Prabhupada's senior sannyasis was giving a lecture, and he was speaking about the glories of the holy name. And he said that Krishna is in his name. Krishna is in his name. Now Srila Prabhupada was sitting listening to the class, and Prabhupada stopped the devotee. He said, "Where in his name is he?" Which part? So then the devotee realized, no, Krishna is not in his name. Krishna is his name. This is a very simple statement, but it's a very deep principle. To realize Krishna is in his name is the perfection of your practice of spiritual life. Krishna is his name. There's no difference. Therefore, we say that all our advancement in spiritual life depends on chanting Hare Krishna. Everything depends on our chanting. It's because we're coming in contact with Krishna through his name. So these are the seven benedictions. And what is the first one? Chaito Darpanam Marjanam means to cleanse the mind, cleanse the heart of material contamination. The second one is Bhava Maha Dirvagni Nirvapanam, means to push back the fire of material existence. The third, Shreya Kaiva Vichandrika Vitaranam, means that each and every living entity has good fortune. And our good fortune becomes available by chanting Hare Krishna. We come across our good fortune in life when we come in contact with the holy name. Good fortune is not material good karma. Good fortune is not having material things, wealth, position, power, facilities, good health. These are not material good fortune. Because these things can be the cause of degradation. One can be wealthy and become a demon just because they have wealth. Or they can offend others, they can kill others, they can become greedy, they can become demoniacs simply by having material good fortune. So good fortune is not material things, because material good fortune can lead one to hell. We see now the land of India, people are thinking in terms of, now let us have good material things. So it's a race. It's not just an endeavor. It's in a race to get, what we say, material things. Everyone is running fast. It's become like a type of drug. People are crazy after material things now. Fast. As much as possible. What can we get that the West has that we don't have? Yeah. Well, what you'll get is crime, drug addiction, broken homes, abortion, violence, so many other problems. That's what you'll get. That's the success of the West. The West is expert at bringing about problems. United States of America is the biggest country in the world, but it's exporting problems. If you need some problems, go to America. Whatever problem you don't have, you can get there. I'm serious. This is a mental disease, physical disease. I was just reading how many people, 1 billion people in the world are fat. Too fat. And most of them are in America. Fat people. You go to America, you see so many fat people. And they eat all kinds of junk food and burgers and French fries and milkshakes. And they just fat. They just eat all kinds of bad food and they become fat. And they die. They die of fat, being fat. Die because of good life. I died because of my good life. Yeah, it's like a common thing now. People are so fat. Obesity is one of the biggest problems now. Why this sense gratification? Anyway, so one's good fortune becomes awakened by the holy name. In other words, one awakens to their love for Krishna. What is the next one? Vidha vidhu jivanam. What does that mean? Transcendental knowledge becomes awakened. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. Transcendental happiness. Pratipadam purnam rita svardhanam. One can experience at every stage in one's devotional service newer and newer realizations about Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm chanting so long. Why should I chant? There's more and more realizations of your relationship with Krishna that can be revealed more and more through the holy name. The holy name reveals all the truth in the Vedic knowledge, and beyond, even the stuff that is not even written can be revealed through the holy name. Yes. And then the last, of course, is Sarvatma Snaparam. That means everything becomes complete. There's no more perfect, there's nothing else to do. Your life becomes auspicious internally, externally. Even your home, your facilities, your family, your wealth, whatever you have, becomes auspicious in relationship to chanting the holy name. Everything material also becomes your good fortune too. So this is the holy name. These are the seven, what we say, benedictions. And we can go through some of the benedictions. We've done this many times before. Let me see what we can add to this. Let me ask you a question. Who is more merciful, Krishna or Krishna's name? Why? Helps in every situation. I have one specific answer I'm looking for. Huh? Yes, he got it. You can only approach Krishna through his name. Krishna becomes accessible through his name. Although Krishna is there in so many other ways. Forget it. You want Krishna? You have to go through the name to get him. The name is more merciful than Krishna. So when we say Harinam Sri Sankirtan, what does Sri represent? Who said? Who is Sri? Radharani. So Hare Krishna is Radha Krishna. When we chant Hare, it's Radha. So Harinam Sankirtan is the glorification of Sri also. So you're not only glorifying Krishna, you're glorifying the Ladini Shakti, or the, what we say, the internal energy of the Lord manifest as Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna, or Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Shyam Shyam Radhe. Don't chant like that, no. But this is also the ecstasy of the holy name. So Chaita, Darpanam, Marjanam. Chaita means what? Consciousness, what else? Mind, what else? Heart, three things, very good. You're all scholars. You know exactly. These three things represent the word Chaita. So the holy name cleanses consciousness. Consciousness is pure. Consciousness is like a deep, clear lake. It's deep and it's clear. And if you look, have you ever been to Hardwar? Laxman Jula, I can remember. So the water is so clear. You can look down into the pond and it's deep. And you can see the rocks on the bottom. It's like translucent green. Very clear. So consciousness in its natural state is like that. Clear. It's perfect. It reflects the soul. It reflects the soul's relationship with the Supreme Soul or Krishna. There's nothing in the way. It's simply a clear medium to the Lord. But what happens when the consciousness comes in contact with matter? It becomes dirty or cloudy. And what are some of the dirt? I am false ego, but what is that made up of? I am Indian. I am Brahmachari. I am resident of Pune. I am what? I'm old. I'm young. I'm intelligent. I'm temple president. I'm cook.
I am the material body.
That is the whole thing right there. I am the material body. What else? Whatever you think of, it's all part of the contamination. There's only one statement that you can apply to the soul. The soul is, I am Krishna's parts and person. I'm Krishna's eternal servant. That is pure consciousness or real consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So Chaita becomes, what we say, muddy in contact with matter. So chant the holy names and wash away the dirt. Chaita Darpanam. Darpanam means mirror. Mirror is something that reflects. When you look into a mirror, you see your reflection. But if there's dirt over the mirror, the reflection is not seeable. So what is that reflection? That the consciousness reflects the soul, it reflects our relationship with it. But when it's covered, you can't see that. All you see is your material desires. When you look at the mirror, what do you see? You see the dirt. You can't see the mirror because it's covered with dirt. And what are the dirt? The material desires. So when you look, what are you seeing? You're seeing your material desires. I am this. I want, I need, I. Aham mameti. Janasa moham yam aham mameti. Right? The two consciousnesses that are the facility of the false ego are I am, this is. I am, this is mine. My wife, my home, my socks, my prasadam bowl. My, I and mine, right? Everything. I is a little higher consciousness. Mind is a little lower consciousness. The animals don't think in terms of I, they think in terms of mine. Human beings think in terms of both. But animals think in terms of mine. So mine is a little less, you know, this is my master, this is my yard, roof, roof. This is my bone. You know, so animals are just low consciousness, mind. So a human being, when he has this conception of mind, he's more like on animal level. So I and mine, Darpanam Marjanam. Marjanam means to clean. So chant the holy names of the Lord, we wipe away the dust. And we actually come back to our natural consciousness. Krishna consciousness is natural. It's not artificial. It's not something you have to create. It's something you have to find. It's there. It's the hidden treasure. It's Gupta. It's hidden in our hearts. It's waiting to be uncovered. The holy name is the means for uncovering or waking that consciousness up. Bhava maha dirvagni nirvapanam. Oh, this material world is like a blazing fire. Samsara dhavana lalita loka tranaya karuna guna gunatvam patasya kalyana gunarnavasya bande guru shri charana Davagni, fire, blazing fire. What is that fire? Adiatmic, Adibautic, Adidaivika, right? People, every moment, are experiencing the benefits of the material world in the form of these three things. Adiatmic, My mind is giving me trouble. My body is giving me trouble. Adibautic. Mosquitoes are giving me trouble. Dogs are giving me trouble. Government officials are giving me trouble. Right? My next door neighbor is giving me trouble. Everybody is trouble. Right? Adibautic. Adidaivic. Indra's giving me trouble. Vayu's giving me trouble. Varuna's giving me trouble, right? Sitting on the beach, some people went to go to Thailand, Bangkok for vacation. Saved up their money all year to sit on the beach and enjoy the nice, beautiful sandy beach of Thailand with so many nice sights. And all of a sudden, tsunami. You become a fish. Don't sit on the beach, you come into the beach. Hey, Adidaivika. Hey, all of a sudden, whoosh, finish. And material world. Padam, padam, ya padam, right? Danger at every step. Right? Walking along the street and somebody smashes into you with their motorbike, right? I was just in Tirupati. So he took darshan, one temple in Tirupati. What was the temple? Govindaraj temple. So I was walking out, and we had to walk along the streets. Cars. Krishna. Trying to get to the car, you know, it's like, it's painful. Every minute, and looking this way, that way. Just to walk from the temple to the car, it was like fearful. I thought I was going to get smashed by a bicycle or somebody. Anyway, this is the material world. Anyway, this is Adibautic, right? Adidaivika, Adiatmaka. And everyone wants peace, but no peace, right? The mind is going, always giving trouble, anxiety. Right, sitting on a train, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, having, riding nice train, and all of a sudden, someone sits next to you. Hare Krishna. You know, it's okay, but sometimes baby's crying. And there's always one guy on the whole train. He speaks on the cell phone. Everybody hears. Right? The whole train. He's talking like when we were going to Pune, coming for the yatra. I was sitting on the train. There was a guy next to me, sitting one seat behind me. Cell phone rings every 2 minutes. And he's on the phone. I don't understand Hindi, but he's just speaking. Then it stops. Ding, 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 ding. Went on for the whole trip. And he's talking so loud. I'm glad I don't understand Hindi. Sometimes they say you should learn the language. I don't want to learn the language. Because I have to listen to all the nonsense then. Just chant Hare Krishna. And it's like that, you know, so it's difficult. So no peace of mind, you can't get peace anywhere. But at least if you're chanting Hare Krishna, you have a chance. It's a good chance you can get peace eventually. So these are the miseries of the material world. Chant the holy names and gradually the miseries go less and less and less, 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 less. Shreya Kaiva Vachandrika. Kairava. Kaira means lotus flower, and Chandrika means moon. Shreya means auspicious. Chaya Kaiva Vita Vicharanam means that the holy name is like the auspicious moon rays that come upon the lotus of our good fortune. A lotus flower, there are many lotuses, but there's one lotus called Kairava. Now Kairava is a special lotus. This lotus gets its nourishment from the moon. All lotus flowers, except the Kairava, get their nourishment from the sun. They get their nourishment from them. But the Kairava gets its load from the moon. So the moon's rays are cooling. The sun's rays are heating. And in the material world, everyone's burning with desire. So it's like a cool rays that makes one feel relaxed, comfortable, cool. But at the same time, it is opening up our good fortune. And when your good fortune is awakened, then your life actually begins. So these cooling rays are the holy name. Sometimes we're chanting and we're not experiencing that. But anyway, we will get to that in the second verse. Second verse explains why the rays of the moon are not cooling. How to make them cool again. They are cool, but somehow or other we have our windows closed. We're hiding inside. So it's not, we're not experiencing the cooling rays. So the first two benedictions cut away the material energy. Cheto Darpana Marjana Bhava Mahadevangama. These are the material destruction, destroying material desires, pushing back material miseries. Also, miseries of material birth, death, disease, and old age. These are the foundations of all material miseries. Third verse awakens our love for Krishna. And the fourth benediction is Vidha Vidhu Jivanam. Vidha means knowledge. Vidhu means bride. And Jivanam means life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that a woman, when she gets married, she is known as a bride. And therefore she has a husband or bridegroom. She becomes happy or she becomes enlivened in the presence of her husband. So transcendental knowledge is like a bride. But a bride is incomplete. Or it remains, what we say, unavailable. Her happiness is there, but it's not manifest. When she comes in contact with her husband, then she becomes happy. So in the same way, transcendental knowledge becomes awakened in connection with the holy name. It gives life, just like in our temples. What do? We chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and we have Pravachan. You go to many other places, right? They have many other spiritual groups. They just have Pravachan, right? Pravachan, Pravachan, Pravachan. Pravachan, Pravachan, Pravachan. Pravachan, 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 Pravachan. That's all. And nobody knows what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. And everybody goes away and nothing changes, right? Because knowledge has to be accompanied with the source of knowledge. Knowledge is energy. It's not, and the source is the energetic or Krishna, the absolute principle. So transcendental knowledge is awakened in relationship to the Lord. That's why in our temples, kirtan must be there. We don't just have lectures. We always have kirtan. 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 Kirtan gives life to knowledge. Once you have a good kirtan, you're ready for class, right? You're ready. You're actually ready to sit down and hear class. You actually can absorb more because the kirtan just picks you up, awakens your intelligence, awakens your enthusiasm to hear. It gets us going. So that is transcendental knowledge is awakened by the holy name. The fifth benediction Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. Anandam Buddhi. Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam. It's like an ocean. Ocean of happiness. The holy name, the happiness that one can experience from chanting the holy name is like an unlimited ocean. How many gallons of water are there in the ocean? How many? Who knows that?
Nobody knows.
Only Krishna knows. Yes, you're right. So, can you, if you go with your big cranes and your big buckets and you try to dry up the ocean, how long will it take? Can you dry up the ocean? You can work your whole life and still nothing changes. The ocean's unlimited. Unlimited. So similarly, the happiness that one can experience from chanting is unlimited. Everyone wants happiness, right? Pleasure, joy, ecstasy. The holy name is the only means to achieve that. Material happiness is another form of material suffering. It's a little less of a suffering. There's material suffering and material happiness. Both are suffering, but one is less suffering than the other. Because what does material happiness do? It makes you think you're okay. But then death is still there. Disease is still there. Old age is still there. No one can escape these things. Material happiness is like taking some form of intoxication. When you become intoxicated, you think, I'm happy. But what are you? You're intoxicated. That's all. You're not happy, you're just feeling something different because of some substance that's changing your consciousness. So the material world is a form of suffering. Krishna says, Dukkhalayam Asasratam. It's suffering. This world is suffering. If we don't understand that this world is suffering, we cannot make progress in spiritual life. This is essential. This is a principle that we must understand deeply and totally, that this world is a place of suffering. And now someone might think, well, maybe Pune is a place of suffering, but if I go to Goa, it's not so bad. Right? Or if I go to America, it's all suffering. Prabhupada said, if there's any happiness in this material world, it's in Hawaii. Prabhupada went to Hawaii, saw so much material happiness there. People were really enjoying material life. Don't go to Hawaii, though. You probably don't even know where it is, most of you don't. It's somewhere in the South Pacific, it's some island. That. Anyway, you don't want to go there. Still, people get old, die, and get diseased. And still. But material happiness is another form of illusion because it makes one think I'm okay. But then again, it's also temporary. Therefore, happiness can only be found on the spiritual platform. Happiness can only be found on the spiritual path. So happiness is transcendental because the soul or the living being is transcendental. So we can experience transcendental happiness in connection with the source of happiness or Krishna. And the holy name is the means for awakening that happiness. So that happiness is unlimited. Sometimes we say, wow, that was the best kirtan. And then we have another one. That was the best kirtan. And we have another one. That was the best kirtan. That was the best lecture. No, that was the best. That was the... That, oh, the, best lecture, right? Gets better. That was the best prashad. This is the best prashad I ever had. Each time it's like an experience of the best. And it's true. It's not like you were an illusion or anything. It's like transcendental pleasure is increasing and it's always unlimited. You can always experience, always say, unlimited happiness in anything, even doing your daily services, cleaning the temple or washing pots or going out on book distribution. Each one of those can offer unlimited forms of happiness because it's all in relationship to chanting. It's an extension of the chanting, that's all. So, unlimited happiness found in chanting of the holy names of the Lord. It's always increasing, always increasing, always increasing. So one should not think, well, I tried this Krishna consciousness, but let me try something else. No. I know what it is. Yeah, you dance, you chant, you have some food, you read some books. It's nice. Actually, it's not like that. These things are all processes that are awakening the soul's relationship with Krishna. What is the ultimate happiness? When the soul is connected to Krishna. When we actually come in contact with Krishna. And the holy name is the means to get directly connected to Krishna. Direct. Direct. There's no more direct way. It's like immediately. Prabhupada says when you're chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna is dancing on your tongue. You're tasting Krishna. He's sweet. And that sweetness is unlimited. Just imagine some of the nicest prasadam you ever had. Right? What's some of the best? Huh? Srikhan. What else? Khichdi? Some people like khichdi. What else? Popcorn? Sweet rice. Ah, very good. How about son papri? Evo. That's pretty good, huh? Or ras malai. Or pizza. Some... What else? Kachoris. Klubjumans. ISKCON bullets, Prabhupada called them. So these things are, they have their own varieties of tastes, and each one is very, how we say, enjoyable. So the holy name is unlimitedly sweet. Krishna is unlimitedly sweet. We get a little taste of Krishna's sweetness in different ways. So it's unlimited. What's the next? Patipadam Purnamrita Svardhanam. At every stage in your spiritual practice, there is more and more realization of your relationship with Krishna. You can realize Krishna unlimitedly. Some people say, yeah, I know Krishna. I read Gita. I know Krishna. Yeah, I tried this chanting, I know. If you say you know, that means you're saying you don't know. Because it's not something you can know. How can you know how many atoms there are in creation? Can you count the atoms in creation? You can't. There's no such number. There's no number. Just so you can't know Krishna. And Krishna is the source of all the atoms too. So he's unlimited. Nobody knows Krishna. Prabhupada said, become fully Krishna conscious. Giving a lecture, Prabhupada said. Become fully Krishna conscious. Devotees were silent. Complete silence. Prabhupada said, all right, become 90% Krishna conscious. Still silence. Prabhupada said, 80%. Still. Probably. All right. Become 70%, no less. I mean, even if we're 70% Krishna conscious, that's perfection. And how much can we know even within the 70%? Nothing. So, it's at every stage, more and more realization of Krishna consciousness. It's unlimited. It's like you read the Bhagavad Gita, or you read Srimad Bhagavatam, or you read something. And each time you read, if you're reading carefully, you'll see that there is something more that you can understand, you can experience. There's always something more to whatever you have read before. It's unlimited. There's no limit. Yes, I read Gita. Oh, yes. Now I go on to Bhagavatam. I read Bhagavatam. Now I read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now I read Brihad Bhagavatam Rita. What else can I read? I'm reading, now I'm reading Hanuman comic books. Hanuman's great, of course, no question. You know, he's always looking for something new to read, right? That's the idea. Something new. I have to read something else. What else? What else can I read? I used to be like that. Read something new. But go back and read Bhagavatam again. Read Gita again. You get a totally and fresh new experience of the philosophy. How deep, how intricate. The Acharyas give many meanings to the same principles. It's deep. Unlimited. Srila Prabhupada was talking about Bhagavatam. He said, he was walking with his devotees. He said, it takes 1 month to understand each verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. 1 month for each verse. How many verses? Prabhupada said, how much is that? 1 month times 18,000 verses. 1,500 years. Papa said, you have enough to read. You have enough to read. Yeah, I say, each verse takes 1 month, minimum. That's if you're intelligent. So, unlimited. Pratipadam purnam rita svardhanam. At every step. And that this principle also means that gradually you can awaken to your swarup, your eternal position in the spiritual world. The holy name can reveal through the process of bhakti what is your relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. To understand that is a revelation. Prabhupada said, when you're ready, Krishna, the spiritual master, will tell you directly. You'll get direct information when you're ready. What is your position? But it comes by way of the mercy of the holy name. And the last one, Sarvatma Snaparam. Don't have to worry about any other processes of purification or elevation. The holy name is perfect. It takes care of everything. Inside, outside, your whole life becomes, what we say, auspicious, becomes perfect. One doesn't have to adopt any other process. The holy name is everything. Cheto darpana marjanam bhavamahag dirvagni nirvapanam Shreya kaiva vichandrika vitara nam vidyavahu jivanam anandam buddhivardhanam patipadam punam ritasvardhanam pravatmasnapanam vijayate si krishna sankirtanam nam 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 nam. At the end of each benediction, the word, the suffix nam is there. Lord Chaitanya has shown by his transcendental intelligence that he can speak a perfect philosophical principle with such poetry and such literary embellishment that each of the benedictions end with the word Nam. Amazing, huh? No one else could do that. Only Lord Chaitanya. Only God can do that. So that is the first verse. Also, the seven benedictions coincide with the... This is a little bit hard to understand, but it actually also... the first benediction is the first prayer. The second benediction is the second prayer. The third benediction is the third prayer. So each of the seven benedictions coincide with the different prayers also. You study this carefully, you can see how the second prayer is pushing back the fire of material existence, or, in other words, purifying the heart. The third prayer is auspiciousness. What is auspiciousness? Chanting the holy names of the Lord in a humble state of mind. The fourth prayer, like that. So each of those benedictions coincide with the different prayers also. So there's the transcendental pleasure, the ocean of transcendental pleasure that destroys even the greatest form of happiness, which is, what is the... Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says there are three types of happiness: material happiness, happiness that comes from liberation, happiness that comes from the process of bhakti. If you take Kaivalya, or the happiness of merging into the existence of the Lord, the pleasure of Kaivalya, you multiply it 1,000,000 times, you get a little tiny drop of the happiness that comes from bhakti. So there's no comparison to anything like that. So Lord Chaitanya has taken this prayer and he's garlanding the world with this prayer. It's a garland of Radharani's love for Krishna. The entire Sankirtan movement is Lord Chaitanya's love in the mood of Radharani for Krishna. The ecstasy that one can achieve in this chanting is similar or comparable to the ecstasy of Radharani's love for Krishna. That's why if you see a picture of Lord Chaitanya and his associates dancing in kirtan, and you see a picture of Krishna dancing in Rasa Leela, there is no difference. There is no difference. The gopis' ecstasy in love for Krishna that was experienced to its highest, what we say, point in Rasa Leela is manifested in the form of Lord Chaitanya and his associates dancing and chanting in kirtan. There's no difference between Rasa Leela and Gauranga kirtan. Now this is Prem Sankirtan now. Not just Sankirtan. Prem Sankirtan. We want Prem Sankirtan. We don't want Sankirtan. We want Prem Sankirtan. Kirtan with love, devotion. That is real kirtan. This first verse, again, is the verse of Strada. It brings faith. Just like in America, they have this holiday called New Year's, right? Even here, they say Happy New Year's, right? But what is our New Year? Our New Year is Lord Chaitanya's birthday, right? The New Year's in the material world is January 1st, right? Happy New Year's. It's like a New Year, 2007. Our New Year's are different. We are in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu year 521, right? Coming up. That's our year, 521. We're not 2007. But in America, on New Year's Eve, the night before, everyone is getting drunk. Everyone. Even people who don't drink, they get drunk that night. And it's like a fashion. They all go out on the streets. and they celebrate and they get drunk and they just act crazy. So devotees in America, we go out on Sankirtan on New Year's Eve, 12 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night. We do kirtan, and they're all getting drunk and they're falling all over and nothing to do. So we just bring the Sankirtan and they're the Hare Krishna. And they start jumping and dancing in our kirtan. It's amazing. I could show you some videos of people. One guy was dancing. Some Karmi was dancing. And he was jumping and smiling. And then he was saying to his friends, "What are they singing?" He didn't even understand the mantra, but he was just dancing and he didn't know what was happening. He was smiling and he said, "What words are they saying? I don't know. It's fun." Dancing, right? So Sankirtan brings faith. These people who have never tasted anything of spiritual happiness, as soon as they come into contact with Sankirtan, they get an experience, right? They get their faith. "Oh, this is nice. You Hare Krishna's really got it together. You know what you're doing." Yeah, they really love us. The drunks like us a lot. Lord Chaitanya preached to the drunks, right? Remember when he was passing by? He was walking along, and there was some drunks having Durga Kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya came by, and then they saw Lord Chaitanya, and they came out. They said, "Oh, there's Nimai Pandit." And they started chanting Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya stopped and he gave his mercy to the drunks. Yeah. So this movement can make the drunks sober. And we're chanting and chanting. In America it's big, you know. People like it. Especially when they're drunk. When they're not drunk, they don't like it so much. But when they're drunk, they really like it. So this Sankirtan brings faith. You know, as soon as the holy name is there, chanting, people, the energy becomes so nice. Just recently we did a movie. The devotees in America did a movie with Hollywood. And they had the Hollywood film set with all the producers and directors. They were directing this big movie and the devotees were in the movie. So part of the movie was they wanted us to do kirtan in the movie. So the devotees were doing kirtan. And then when the producers and the directors heard the kirtan, they had Jagannath eyes, you know. "Wow, you guys really got it together. They really liked it. You know, they never experienced such happiness from singing. Usually the only time they're happy when they're singing is when they're drunk. It's not from singing either, they're happy. That's the only time they sing and dance is when they're drunk. They can't do it anywhere, any other time. You ask them to sing and dance, when they get a little drunk. But then we give them the holy name. It's amazing. So this holy name is really auspicious. It can change even the hearts of the drunkards. Okay, that's the first verse. Any questions? Prabhu? Radhisham?
Hare Krishna. Mara, I had a question regarding one of the points you made before. That those people who have some material qualifications, you know, like you were saying, few qualifications, like you were giving example of America, you know, how people are suffering and they're misusing. So I had a question, Maharaj, about people like Ambarish Prabhu, like Mr. Ford, how despite being so wealthy, they are inclined to Krishna consciousness. Is it the right use of free will that they are doing, or that is also coming from their previous life?
How they somehow come to Krishna consciousness?
Yeah.
Well, people come to Krishna consciousness in two ways. By some kind of sukriti, or because of being burnt out in material life. Ambarish Ford, a couple years ago when we had that Pandal in Bombay in February, sponsored by Shamsundar Prabhu, Ambarish was there. He spoke, and he said it with such conviction that, you know, I've experienced this material life, and it's nothing. There's nothing there. Just nothing there. And here's a man who had everything. Unlimited money. Prestige. He's not only wealthy, he has prestige too. Some people have wealth, but they have prestige too. Just his name. Just by his name, he can go anywhere. His name alone just brings awe and reverence into the hearts of everyone. Prestige, wealth, you name it, whatever. Good family. Family wasn't degraded. They were a good family. They were a pious family. And to be in America, to be pious is really rare. They weren't sinful. But still, he said, there's nothing there. It's empty. Material life in all its glory. Material life is like... it's like a neon sign. If you look at a neon sign from a distance, you see sometimes it's very colorful and it's flashing and it has words and maybe sometimes dancing people. It looks very attractive. It's very strong. It attracts your attention. Neon lights flashing different colors. But when you get close, what is it? It's just some lights going on and off. That's all. Different color, red light, yellow light, green light, going flash. You come to it, it's just a bunch of lights flashing. So that material happiness or material success is like, it's like these flashing lights. When you get really close to it, you realize there's nothing there. It's empty. So, and, you know, he came from a pious family, too, so he has some sukriti. There are many rich people who are rich, and obviously there's some piety there, but they have become degraded over generations. Just like the Rockefeller family. Now, that was a very rich family. Still is, to some degree, but gradually they're losing their wealth. They're going down. Because their family is pretty degraded. It's not a pious family. Or the Bilderbergers or the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds are like one of the richest families in the world. They're from Germany, I think. You know, they can buy the whole... they can buy India if they want to. Just buy the whole place. I mean, they have so much wealth. You can't even count their wealth. They own practically all the banks in the world. So, you know, these people are more degraded. Therefore, they can't come to Krishna consciousness. But within Ambarish Ford's life, he had some piety. Came from a good family. His grandfather, a great-grandfather, Henry Ford, was poor. He had nothing. He was a farmer, practically. He just invented this machine. Called a car. He got lucky. He was a simple man. He was a vegetarian too, way back years ago, which was very rare, you know. Very rare for a person to be a vegetarian back in the early 1900s in the West. So he came from a pious family. So when people have a little sukriti, a little piety, they're... then somehow or other, their good fortune, their material good fortune, can bring them to Krishna consciousness. Another question? There was another... yeah.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, this is in regards, when we hear about Namabhas, somebody person is chanting in Namabhas, then all his sinful reactions, they go. So we see many, even materialists, especially in India, practically names are given, by the Lord's name, like somebody's name may be Mohan, somebody's name may be Shyam. So many materialists in India do chant in Namabhas, means they don't know about holy name.
Yeah.
But they take. But still we see they are also suffering. So what can be understood?
Yeah, they chant in Namabhas, but then the next minute they do the same thing again. They don't change their life. If you chant Namabhas, you can get rid of so many reactions. But then, what do? The next minute, you don't change your life. You go back and do the same thing you're doing. Your Namabhas should help you to somehow or other awaken to a change of lifestyle. The holy name must transform your life. Not only chanting it, you get some mercy from it, but there should be a transformation. Information, 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 no transformation. Chanting, 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 but I'm still attached to sense gratification. You know, some Namabhas is there, but ultimately, if you don't change your life, then what is the use? You go back and do the same things again. It's called hasti snan, right? Elephant takes a bath and then he throws dirt next minute again. Mm-hmm. So some mercy is there. People come to our temple. They take prasadam, they hear the holy name, they see the deity. If their life is perfect, all their sinful actions are gone. Just stay. No, but they go back out and do the same thing again.
Here one sloka was there, Maharaj, which tells that when holy name has such a power, when it is chanted, so even though one commits Namna yavat shakti papanir patakam patki nara, most sinful person, as much sin he cannot commit, that much he is liberated of. And yeah, it is said that Namabhas, by Namabhas person attains liberation, means no sinful reaction like that. But we see him suffering, so that confuses basically. I know that happens, that tendencies are not gone in him, tendency to commit sinful actions is there, because of that he commits. But the point is, there the shloka is given that even if he commits, that much reactions, he cannot commit only, that much reactions already is relieved of, like that.
If he's actually chanting offenselessly, yeah. That's the story of Ajamiyo. Ajamiyo, he chanted in Namabhas. But if one is intentionally chanting, trying to get rid of sinful reactions, no. If one is chanting helplessly, in the case of Ajamiyo, then that is pure Namabhas. There's two types of Namabhas, actually. The Namabhas of the impersonalists and the Namabhas of the devotees. The Namabhas of the impersonalists is like the cloud is still covering the sun. I mean, I have to get my notes to see exactly how the explanation is understood. But the Namabhas of the impersonalists is not full Namabhas, because their intentions are to somehow or other take advantage of the holy name to get rid of the reactions. If you're thinking of getting rid of the reactions by chanting, it's actually Nam Nam Papa, what is it? Nam Nam Balahi Papa Budhi, the seventh offense. To chant on the basis of sinful activities with the idea of getting rid of sinful reactions. But one who chants helplessly, in the case of Ajamiyo, then that is real Namabhas. Then they're already liberated, but still they go back and do the same thing again. The thing about Ajamiyo was that when he chanted Narayan, as soon as he said the word Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead came to his mind. It's not that before he chanted he was thinking of the Lord. No, he was chanting to call his son. But when he chanted Narayan, the name reminded him of the Lord. As soon as he said it, his own calling awakened that remembrance. Therefore, he got the mercy of the Lord in the form of the Yamadutas protected him from the Vishnu. The Vishnudutas protected him from the Yamadutas. But if one is intentionally trying to, you know, chant with the idea of getting rid of the sinful activities, no. has to be done, what we say, helplessly, with no preconceived idea. Does that answer your question? You sure? You don't look convinced. I know what you're saying. You're saying they're chanting Namabhas, but are they really chanting Namabhas?
Actually, because there are four types of Namabhas also, which are chanted in ignorance. We say Ashraddha Namabhas. Yeah. That's Sanketam, Parihasyam. So that person doesn't know about that he is chanting. And second thing, he doesn't want to get rid also because he doesn't know that way. But he's just chanting.
Well, there's an example. The example of that one Muslim, he chanted Haram, right?
Yes.
Haram, Haram. He got liberation, right?
Even Shishupal example is there. It is Stobam Helana Mevava. He chanted, and in envy he chanted towards the Lord, but he got liberation like that.
Yeah, he got Sahuja Mukti, right?
Ah, that's right.
We don't want that. Sahuja Mukti. Yeah, there's the holy name is all auspicious, and when chanting without, you know, without offense, then immediately there is. But the thing is, as soon as you chant without offense, and then, but then again, you go back and start doing the same things again. At that stage, you're liberated. But then again, because the process is not there. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, if you're chanting Hare Krishna and you're not following the process, you will get very little benefit from chanting. He says, if you want to cook your food, you need a nice fire. But if you have some smoke and you say, well, I have smoke. And wherever there's smoke, there's fire. So therefore I can cook with smoke. Prabhupada says, and you'll take 300 years to cook. So if you're chanting Hare Krishna, but you're not following the process of bhakti as given by the spiritual master and the acharyas, sadhu vritti, then your chanting is very, very, what we say, slow. Not much. Therefore, we have to do two things. We have to cultivate proper chanting and cultivate the process of bhakti carefully. They're not following any process. They get some relief from sinful activity and they go back doing the same thing again. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
There you go.
Maharaj, I wanted to clarify one thing, that some devotees say that hearing is very important while chanting.
What is?
Hearing. Yeah, you have to hear it, mantra, you have to hear completely. But when we endeavor for hearing a lot, the prayerful mood goes away. Like, it becomes totally like, I am totally focusing on my energy, like how I am hearing the mantra. But some devotee emphasizes on prayerful mood, then if we are putting our endeavor to become more prayerful, then that time we exactly don't know whether I am hearing or not hearing. So this doubt comes. How to reconcile it?
Well, I have the same problem. And my understanding is just try to hear, and then once you start hearing, then you can start becoming prayerful. You have to hear. That's my understanding. Just like Prabhupada said, don't try to control the mind, just try to hear. Just hear. Absorb yourself in that sound. Therefore, sometimes when you're trying to hear, the prayerful mood becomes less, right? Because you're struggling. It's almost like you're fighting, right? It's not love, it's war. But once you defeat the enemy, then you can have love. The enemy is the mind is going everywhere. So just hear, and then the more you hear, then your devotional feelings will become more and more. Hearing is important. Hearing is essential. Hearing is the basis of our chanting. Because if you're doing the devotional mood, at least the way you think you are, but you're not hearing, you might be having devotion with yourself. and not with Krishna. Just try to hear. And if you can do both, then that's perfection.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Ah.
Here.
Okay.
Maharaj, this is again in continuation with the Namabhas topic you were speaking on. We had heard the definition of Namabhas also, that only after Anartha Nivritti happens, then the Namabhas stage comes, and it's like night going and then the initial rays of sun coming up in the sky, and a devotee actually chants at that time in Namabhas. At the same time, we also hear that any person without knowing devotional service chants some name of Krishna, and that also is Namabhas. So you were replying, Maharaj, that chanting in Namabhas will give liberation. So basically, what is Namabhas? Namabhas is after whole Anartha Nivritti finishes, or it is offenseless chanting even if Anarthas are there?
You're correct. Namabhas comes in the stage of Anartha Nivritti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that it's like a beam of sunlight that comes through the cloudy sky. And that ray is Namabhas. In other words, one experiences the holy name, the mercy of the holy name, directly through the chanting. Bart Maharaj. He was on the stage of Bhava. In other words, he had gone through all the other seven stages. He was on the eighth stage, Bhava. But still, he fell down again. So Anartha Nivritti doesn't go away at the Namabhas stage, nor does it go away at the Anartha Nivritti stage. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says Anartha Nivritti can still be in the stage of Bhava. Very subtle forms of material contamination that are indetectable.